Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Global demand for oil is up and prices have surged to their highest level since 2015. In Alaska, North Slope crude has risen above $63 a barrel this week. From Alaska's energy desk, Rasha McChesney has more on how state economists are responding to the jump in prices.
At the Department of Revenue, Chief Economist Dan Stickle says they're pulling together data for the state's annual oil price forecast. And while they are watching the jump in oil prices, they're not ready to change their long-term forecast just yet.
Short-term price movements, they're interesting, but if you're looking at the impact on investment and production, you really have to look at more of the long-term.
And in the long-term, the state isn't expecting oil prices to rally much higher for much longer. The price of oil is often volatile, especially when global supply and demand don't line up. And in the last few years, Stickle says Alaska has generally been along for the ride when those dramatic shifts happen.
When a project in Alaska happens, it's a very long-term investment and it's a long-term production.
So when global demand for oil is higher than supply, Alaska's not likely to step in and bring production up quickly to meet that need. Adjusting for inflation, they're predicting that oil prices will stabilize in the $55 to $60 per barrel range for the next 5 years. The price increase helps the state's bottom line. But for the budget to be balanced, even with all of the budget cuts that have happened, oil prices would have to be much higher.
You need ANS prices to be up in the $90 per barrel range or higher.
From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
There's potential for significant snowfall across the interior over the next several days. National Weather Service meteorologist Benjamin Bartis says forecasters are tracking two systems moving in from the west.
One's currently pushing its way through the Fairbanks area, and that should give us a couple inches of snow or so today and tomorrow. And we are anticipating another low-pressure system possibly moving through the interior this weekend.
Barta says the second system is expected to move over a large area from the Brooks Range to the Alaska Range and potentially dump heavy snow.
With it still being over the weekend, it's still far enough out where we don't have a very high certainty level yet with exactly how much snow will fall with it. That's actually one of the harder things to predict in weather is snowfall totals. So we want to get some more data under our belt before we make a call on that.
Bartis says the weekend storm is also expected to bring strong winds to the region,
especially on higher elevations like, you know, over Eagle Summit and stuff like that, but also down in the valley, which isn't the most common thing, so that's something to watch for as well over the weekend.
A special statement issued by the Weather Service warns of the potential for downed trees. Fairbanks schools are back to normal operation this morning after a threatened shooting did not materialize Tuesday. A note found on the floor at Lathrop High School last week warned that a shooting would happen there Tuesday. That prompted a police presence at Lathrop and other schools yesterday, and students were kept inside at campuses district-wide. The district reports that attendance was about 50% of normal at Lathrop Tuesday. North Star Borough School District Superintendent Karen Gaborik says while classes and activities are returning to normal, authorities are continuing to look into the threat.
There is a joint investigation with state, local, and federal authorities. That investigation is ongoing, and the district continues to coordinate with law enforcement in that.
Gaborik adds that the district appreciates how law enforcement has handled the situation, and some oversight will continue.
Each agency will determine their level of presence. Everybody, I think, is being vigilant and watchful. You know, we're in contact with them multiple times a day, just staying in touch.
Gaborik asked that parents talk to kids about what happened and how to respond in the event of a similar threat.
You know, we had a couple students find this note and report it to the office, so very thankful about that. And just encourage students, if they become aware of something, either in school from peers on social media, that they let us know.
Gaborik says school teachers are also being asked to talk to their students about what happened. The Bureau of Land Management is reviewing impacts of races and commercial tours on BLM portions of the Iditarod Trail. The environmental assessment covers the trail between the Alaska Range and the village of Nikolai and from Caltag to Unalakleet. BLM Public Affairs Specialist Maureen Clark says impacts of events, including the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, the Iron Dog Snow Machine Race, and the Iditarod Trail Invitational Ski, Bike, and Foot Race, were last conducted 10 years ago when permits were issued. Clark says those permits are now expiring, and the new reviews will take into account changing winter trail uses.
For instance, when we did our last assessment, snow bikes weren't really in use the way they are today. in addition, for the first time this past winter, we had an international ecotourism group on the trail.
Clark says changes can be made to existing use permits based on review of environmental impacts.
Basically, we're looking at what is the capacity before we start affecting the characteristics of the trail, the natural characteristics that make the trail what it is. So it helps us to understand the uses that we have, and we can be better informed when we consider issuing permits for additional activities.
Clark says the assessment also helps minimize conflicts between trail users, noting that the BLM-managed sections of the trail also include some basic infrastructure that requires maintenance,
including the Roan Historic Cabin and outhouses and safety cabins along the trail.
Public input is being accepted through November 13th. State environmental regulators have directed Fairbanks-based Carlisle Trucking to submit a cleanup plan for a small diesel fuel spill that occurred after a Carlisle tanker wrecked on the Elliott Highway on October 17th. KUEC's Tim Ellis reports.
DEC Environmental Program Specialist Ashley Adamczak says agency officials weren't notified about the October 17th wreck of a tanker truck around milepost 39 of the Elliott Highway until they got some rough information later that day from the State Department of Transportation's Commercial Vehicle and Enforcement Division.
Upon further investigation, we determined it was a Carlisle tanker that was upside down and off of the road.
Adamczak says DEC hadn't at that time received any reports about a diesel fuel leak. She says the agency then reached out to Carlisle and asked whether the company needed additional resources to help recover the wrecked tanker.
The Carlisle point of contact reported that no spill had been reported to them and that no additional resources were needed.
Adamczak says bad weather kept DEC from sending personnel to the site about 40 miles north of Fox until October 20th, 3 days after the wreck. She says they found diesel on state-owned land around the site where the tanker had overturned. She says by then the rig had been removed.
We did observe that there was diesel fuel right near a small stream and in the soil.
Adamczak says DEC then again contacted Carlisle officials, who conceded the wrecked tanker had leaked some diesel. She says the company then sent a response team to the site. Adamczak says DEC personnel who went to the site weren't able to determine the amount of fuel spilled because the area had by then been covered with snow.
At this time, we believe that the release is somewhere between 30 to 50 gallons. 30 is what Carlisle has reported, but it's pretty hard to tell, especially with the snowpack.
Adamczak says regulations require spills of more than 55 gallons of petroleum products to be immediately reported to DEC. She says smaller releases of around 30 gallons must be reported within 48 hours. Carlisle officials released a statement Tuesday in response to queries by KUAC that says none of the diesel in the tanker leaked. It said instead a small amount of diesel leaked from the fuel tank of the truck itself. The statement says Carlisle notified DEC in, quote, a timely manner, and will continue to work with the agency on any additional cleanup requirements. Adamczak says it appears at least some of the fuel soaked into the roadbed around the wreck site. She says if so, Carlisle will have to remove it in two phases. She says fuel that's soaked into soil outside the roadbed could be excavated now, but she says removing fuel contaminated material from the roadbed itself will have to wait until summer because it's hard to refill and compact material into an excavated roadbed during winter.
We want to make sure that we do that removal in a time that is approved with the DOT engineering staff, that we don't compromise the integrity of the roadway.
Adamczak says DEC has directed Carlisle to submit a work plan on how it will carry out both the winter and summer cleanup operations, and she says DEC will oversee their work. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.